All right, let's take our Bibles once again. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. Our Lord has been preaching. And he makes a statement for the comfort of God's people. And he says in verse 32, Luke 12, 32. He says something I need to hear. I desperately need to hear this. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Isn't that precious? Fear not. Fear not, little flock. You know, we hear the kingdom of God, kingdom of Christ. And when we read or we consider, we hear of the kingdom. Kingdom of the Lord, kingdom of God. What are we talking about? What does that mean, the kingdom? Well, it's speaking of his people. It's the church. It's the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, over whom he's the head. A kingdom has a king. He's the king. A kingdom have subjects. We're the subjects. His kingdom. And this is a kingdom, the kingdom of God, that has everlastingly been loved. Jeremiah 31:3. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've always loved you. It's a kingdom. Hold your place. Turn with me to Ephesians 1:4. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but oh, how blessed to look at it. It's a kingdom, a people, a church, a bride that was chosen. Look at Ephesians 1:4. How'd she get in Christ? How'd she get in Him? Ephesians 1:4. According as He, that is the Father. That's what Scripture says in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We're not born in Adam that way. We're born in Adam dead in trespasses and sins. God's going to do something for us. His kingdom. In Christ. He's going to put away her sins by the shedding of His blood. And He's going to robe her in righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, that she should be holy and without blame before Him. The kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This kingdom. How long has the Lord known them? Turn with me to Revelation 17:8. Let me show you something. This was a real revelation to me when the Lord pleased to teach me something here. And I desperately need to be taught. Before the foundation of the world, God wrote their names in the book of life. Before the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. Well, I'll read. Verse 8. I'm sorry. Revelation 17, 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. This beast that looking at it, false religion, all this ungodly. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. Who's going to wonder about God's judgment? Who's going to wonder about that? Well, those whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So you're telling me that God wrote the names of his people, all the names in the book of life before the foundation of the world? Is that what you're telling me? No, I'm saying that that's what God said. I'm just repeating it. That's what God said. God said it. Written in the book of life. This kingdom. But this kingdom fell in Adam's transgression. This kingdom was in the loins of Adam. And they fell. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. All dead in trespasses and sins. And therefore, this kingdom was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4, whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 17:8. That kingdom, you talking about that kingdom fell? It was lost? Yeah. That's what the Lord said. You call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. They're lost. They're lost sheep. Lost sheep. And the Lord, is who has loved them, has always known them, possessed them, to save his people from the bondage and the penalty of the law, the curse of the law, he came into this world made of a woman, made under the law, and assumed all of her responsibility. What do I owe to God? I owe obedience to God, but I'm disobedient. To stand before God, I need to stand righteous and holy. How can I stand righteous and holy before God when I am a sinner? I need Christ to pay my debt. Pay my debt. I need my debt paid. And the only payment, as I said in the first message, the only payment, there's one payment for disobedience to God's law. One payment. What was it? Death. The wages, the pay. You work for somebody, come to the end of the week, they're going to pay you. What are they going to pay you in? Dollars. Money. What do you want? Would you rather them give you a pig? No, I don't. I know. I need the dollars. I'll take the dollars. One payment for my work. Money. Payment. Salary. One payment for the broken law. Death. Why did Christ die? To redeem his people from their sin. Now, in time, this kingdom was given to Christ, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, before the foundation of the world. They fell in Adam. They're lost. Christ comes into this world and he's going to call them out. Turn over to John 6:37. John 6:37. Are they going to come? I'm talking about all those that were given to the Lord, had their names. Are they coming? They're coming. How do you know? God said they're coming. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They shall come to me. Buddy, I love that word shall. I'm so glad it didn't say might. I'm glad it didn't say should. I should. But they shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. have mercy on me. So the Lord, back in Luke 12:32, he says, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. Oh, the flock of the Lord Jesus. As to my perception, it's as the Lord says it is. It's little flock, little flock. But we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. Turn with me to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. We have nothing to fear in this life or the life to come. Let me show you about this life. Now, I'm telling you, I got to thinking about this about, I'm going to say, 45 years ago. I went through a very, very tough time. Tough time. It was in those of you old enough to remember, about mid-70s, there was a recession in this country. And I had a little business, and it got to where I didn't have any work. I didn't have any work. I had no work. I had to let my employees go. And Gabe was just born. He was an infant. And I didn't have anything. And in Matthew chapter 6, this passage of Scripture, I mean, every time somebody mentions Matthew 6, this is where my mind goes. This is where I found some great comfort right here, these Scriptures. The Scripture says, starting in verse 25, Matthew 6:25, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I mean, I was struggling. Some of you that's gone through some tough times, I'm telling you, it was a tough time. Hadn't been married that long, a couple of years. Had a new son, no work, bills to pay. And I'm telling you, nights were long. Nights were long. Woke up in the middle of the night, can't go back to sleep. Think it's always worse at night, you know that. This passage of Scripture, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Don't despair for food. I never missed a meal. I remember that. Maybe I didn't have as much as I wanted, I thought. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall not suffer the righteous to be moved. Be ready. In this world, we're going to have tribulation. The Lord's going to teach us. He's going to show us something. You know when a man or woman will cast themselves upon the mercy of God? When they need mercy. When they need some help. When they see no out. That's when they'll do it. Oh, the blessing of the chastisement of the Lord. That's what David, I quote that all the time. David said, it's good. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn. That's when. Look at verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? These wild birds, not parakeets. I used to have a parakeet. I'd take care of the parakeet, I thought. Just a kid thinking. I'd feed him, put the paper down in the bottom, give him some water. I'm talking about these wild birds. Behold the fowls of the air. They don't sow, reap, gather. Your heavenly Father. Oh, your heavenly Father. Here's the Lord speaking, his people. Your heavenly Father. Yours by adoption. Yours by creation. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. They don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't store their food. God feeds them, and they eat when they need to eat. If I just learned that. Which of you, verse 27, by taking thought can add one cubit to a stature? You know that that's talking about length of life. Do you think stature means length of life, age? Which of you? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 39:5, "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity." You know, we get so perplexed. Am I going to make it? By dying, I know I'm going to die. I get older, I feel the pains, but you know what? It's appointed to die. Time to be born, time to die. If I get sick, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to the doctor. If the Lord's pleased to heal me, for that I'm thankful. But if he takes me, it was my time. I know that. Which of you, by taking thought, by worrying about it, can add? I'm not saying be irresponsible. Be responsible. Do everything you can. But if God takes one of your own, he's the Lord. He doeth as he will in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 28-29. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Hold your place right there and just turn to 1 Kings 10. Solomon in all of his glory. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 4 to 7. 1 Kings 10, 4 to 7. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." You think about this. The Queen of Sheba, she was taken back with the wisdom and the grandeur of Solomon. And I can only imagine, because we've said and considered, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man that which God's prepared for those that love him. But I can only contemplate. Whenever we stand before God, brought into his presence, behold the house. She saw the house of Solomon. She saw that place where he was, the temple. Well, we behold as the kingdom, the church, robed in the garments of his righteousness, and feasting now, no more by faith, but by sight. When she said, I heard in my king, where I'm from, I heard, you know, my land, but she said, when I came and saw it, she said, the half was not told me. Can you imagine? I can't either. But just to stand there and to feast by sight in our hearts upon him who is the bread of heaven. And according to the scriptures, everyone falling down before the Lamb and worshiping him forever and ever. I can't even imagine that. But that's what the scripture says. Casting our crowns before him. The scripture says, and crying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Back in Matthew 6. Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? As the Lord promised, he says back in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We have no reason to fear now. You say, look, God takes care of his own. He's going to take care of us. He'll provide for us. Yeah, but we're this, that, or the other. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. Not now or in the day of his coming. Right now, and I'm going to just be honest. I'll be outwardly honest. You can be honest to yourself. Because of the presence of sin, fears arise because of the wiles of the devil, that old man that's in us, that thought, do I know him? Do I know him? Oh, when I see the waywardness of my old heart, when I see these things, when I contemplate these things, I think, so embarrassed, I wouldn't dare say out loud things that's gone through my mind since I was standing in this pulpit. Things that I thought that would be such an embarrassment to me. Can I deem, as old John Newton said, can I deem myself a child? Oh, have I any part in this covenant of grace, the blessings of his promises? Am I going to persevere to the end? If he saved me, I will. Because we're kept by the power of God through faith. Little flock. You that he's given a heart to believe, that believes him. What foundation? What do I have? What hope do I have that I'm his? I believe him. I believe him. I put no confidence whatsoever in my flesh. I have no confidence in my flesh. None. I'll quit. You leave it to me. I'll leave. I'll be gone. But if God keeps me, if God's given me a heart to believe him, he that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son hath not life. The wrath of God abideth on him. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Give you the kingdom. Oh, I think about that glorious promise. The glorious state that we now possess in this world, to be found by the grace of God through faith, to know it by faith, that I'm his, that I'm one of his own. I have that now. That state of being that was obtained, not again, not by my works, but according to his mercy. Remember what old Moses asked the Lord, show me your glory. Here's my glory. Exodus 33:19. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So according to his word of promise, that which shall be possessed only by faith now and sight then is the kingdom. The kingdom. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. I think about this. I think it's Matthew 25. I'll read this and I'm going to close. Matthew 25. And we'll all stand before God and in that day. Matthew 25. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, his kingdom, those he chose in Christ, according to Ephesians 1:4, before the foundation of the world. Those he wrote their names in the book of life before the foundation of the world. Those he's called by grace. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Can I have any part of that? What's the assurance of my hope that I know him? I believe him. I believe him. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. Amen. All right, Gary.